Title to the message this morning would be, actually, I give it two names. Praise in bad times and praise before the victory. Got it? Praise in bad times, praise before the victory. How many times do you catch yourself high on the mountain? You've had a good experience. You're high spiritually, and you're able to give God praise. But how about before that? When things are tough, when there's that spiritual battle going on, whatever it is, can you give Him praise then? No matter what it is, whether it's finances, whether it is relationship issues, no matter what you may be struggling with, going through, can you give Him praise then? I hope this challenges you this morning to be able to do that, to be able to take another step, so to speak, in your relationship with Christ, and give Him praise in the bad times. Give Him praise no matter what you are going through in your life, that you can still give praise and glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise in bad times. Praise before the victory. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapters 19 and 20. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to look at this message that He has for us today. Father, we just thank You and give You praise this morning, Lord. We praise You for Your word, Lord. We praise You, Lord, for Your presence in our lives, Lord, and the peace that You speak into our hearts and into our situations in our life, Lord. Father, we just thank You, and we lift up this body of Christ to You this morning, Lord. Father, may we be about Your Father's business, Lord. May we look and see where You're working, Lord, and may we step out in it. Father, I just pray that each one of us here, Lord, that You would make us usable. Father, that we would be a body of Christ, Lord, that is sanctified by You, by Your blood, Lord, that we are set apart, and that people can tell a difference, that there is something different about us, Lord, and that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives within us, Lord. Father, just lead and guide me through this passage of Scripture, Lord, and the message that You have laid on my heart, Lord. May it speak into people's hearts and lives this morning, Lord. We just praise You for Your living word that can be applied to our lives, Lord, after so many years. And we praise You for that. In Christ's holy name, amen. Praise in bad times, praise before the victory. You know, there are people, and at some point in your life, you are going to be going through something that is difficult. There's going to be a spiritual struggle going on. It may be something that you deal with on a daily basis, whatever the case may be, but I want to encourage you today to be faithful in worship through that. If you're being persecuted for something, be faithful in worship. If you're physically dying, be faithful in worship. If you're suffering sickness, be faithful in worship. If you're suffering from financial distress, be faithful in worship. No matter what you're going through, if you're suffering through something that has to do with a relationship, be faithful in worship. No matter what you're going through, the situation you are, be faithful in worship. Just like the Paul and Silas, remember the story of them? They were beaten and thrown into prison. And yet through all that, at midnight, the Scripture says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. Their praise to God continued, even at a low point of their lives, everything that they had been through. And that's one thing that we're going to look at this morning is the story of Jehoshaphat. When he was surrounded by hostile armies, he remained faithful. Be faithful no matter what you're going through. Amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm pretty redneck, and there's lots of words that I can't pronounce. And I had a terrible time at Miss Eileen's Bowden, her Thursday, her funeral, when I was doing that. And it didn't even dawn on me until I was reading her obituary, and I came across the words. I have to really think about this or I can't get it out again. World War II. I have a terrible time saying that. I don't know if it's because I used to stutter or what, but all I can never got through that at that service. Anyway, there's some words in here that I may not pronounce them right. I'll be honest, I don't care. As long as the message goes forth and God's word is preached, the meaning behind the message is what is important. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1 through 4. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. But Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Asherahs out of the land and have set your heart to seek God." Verse 4, Jehoshaphat lived at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now, just to give you just a little bit of history here, it says that in verse 1 there that the Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. And there was a man of God, the speaker of God, went out to meet him. And the reason he went out to meet him, because Jehoshaphat had messed up. He had allowed his son to be married into the family of Ahab. And it brought judgment upon him as a result of that. And it lists some things in here that you can tell that Jehoshaphat's heart is still bent toward God, but he made a mistake. And God had allowed him to return in safety to his house in Jerusalem, but he's going to have to pay for that sin that he committed. And this man of God, this seer, went out to meet him, and he tells him that you should help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord. Because of this, the wrath has gone out against you. But then he lists that there's some good things that are found in you. He said, you destroyed the enemies of God and you set your heart to seek God. And he not only set his heart to seek God, but if it reads on in verse 4 that he realizes that he messed up. He realizes that he's a leader and people are looking to him, and he goes out to the people and he says he brings them back to the Lord, to the God of their fathers. Jehoshaphat here, he was a remarkable man, and this marriage of his son into the family of God, it's going to bring judgment from God upon him, but not only upon him, but upon his nation. And because of this, the wrath of the Lord has come. But he says, nevertheless, in verse 3, he says, some good is found in you. You destroyed the enemies of God. I said that. You set your heart to seek God. He goes out among the people and he brings them back. And if you read on through this passage of Scripture there in verse 5 through 11, you can tell that Jehoshaphat is organizing his country. Everything that he brings up, he sets judges in place, and every organization that is brought forth is in his kingdom is, you can tell that there's a connection there in his relationship with the Lord. I mean, he does all of it because his heart is bent toward God. He was following God. Then we come in chapter 20 to the invasion of the enemy nations. When you have sin in your life, there's going to be consequences of that sin. And even though God has forgiven you, if you ask for forgiveness and your relationship has been restored, there are still consequences of sin. And this invading army is coming upon them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and with some of the Mennonites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazatamara, that is Engedel." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, what is our normal reaction when something very devastating and something with, I mean, this is a great multitude. There was a great army that was setting up to come against him. When you're on the verge of facing something very dramatic in your life and you know it's coming, what is our first instinct? And it is a fear. And that's what his word, but that's okay. Look what he does. He goes to God in prayer. And then he not only does that, but then he sends word to the people to do what? Fast and pray. That's the same thing that we should do in our lives. This should be a model, a pattern for us in our lives. When something comes upon us, instead of running to the phone and call your friends, you go to the Lord in prayer. That's the first thing you do. And then pick up the phone, send word to the people to fast and pray. Now, verse 4, "And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord." People came together, and they came together, but they came to seek the Lord. And then we get down here in verse 5, and we have the prayer of Jehoshaphat. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, 'O Lord God our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend?'" I want to point out some things here that Jehoshaphat knew when he said this prayer. He knew what God had promised in the past. He knew what God had done for the nation of Israel. And he knew that the situation that was facing them right this moment rested upon the promises of God. And then we jump down in verses 12 and 13 is the conclusion of his prayer. And he says in verse 12, "O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord catch this, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There were entire families involved in this. It wasn't just a bunch of men, but this entire family, this entire nation was reaching out to God. They were seeking God. You know, when you read this and study this, you realize that Jehoshaphat is he's entirely dependent upon God here. He knows that he is in a helpless situation, but he is trusting on God. He realizes what God has done in the past. He stands on the promises of God. Now, verse 14 tells us that there's a man of God. And I looked this up just for a little bit. This man here that God uses to speak, says in verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. This was a Benjamite that came over from King Saul and came to David's side. This is who God is going to use to speak. But it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In other words, this is not a man talking. This is a God using this man, and the Spirit of God is talking through him. But look what he says in chapter 20, verses 15 through 17. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. Amen. The battle is not yours, but God's. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged because of this great multitude, this great army, this great battle that is before you. The battle is not yours. It is God. In verse 16, I don't know if I give that through you or not, Daryl, but I'm just going to share it with them. In verse 16, he actually tells them where to go to, where the direction the enemy is coming from, an exact path that they are going to take. And he tells them that they will find them at the end of the valley. There was like a gorge that ran down to the Dead Sea, and this great multitude, this great army was coming up through that and coming up to them. And in verse 17, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight in this battle, but to stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out again against them, and the Lord will be with you. He gives them the military position of where they're coming from. I mean, it couldn't have got better if it was coming from a satellite. He tells them exactly their position and the direction they're headed. He says, you don't need to fight. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord. In other words, see the deliverance that he's going to give you. I like that last part of that. On your behalf. On your behalf. So hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Amen. It says, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. You know, The next part of this scripture is the whole key to this. In fact, if you look and study it, it is the whole key to a successful Christian walk. It's no matter what you're going through to give God praise. No matter what you're going through, it's to stand firm in your faith, to hold your position and to see that God is going to deliver you, to believe what God has done in the past, to believe on God's promises and the deliverance that He's going to give you. Amen? So the next part of this message would and this story is the praise and the worship. And I want to, and I hope this gives you encouragement, because this comes before the battle. It's not after the battle. It's not after the defeat, but it becomes before the battle even begins. Verses 18 and 19, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the, let's see if I can get this, Kohathites and the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They had a praise session going on. Amen. They were praising God for what he was going to do, his deliverance that he was going to give him. They fell down before the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. They praised the Lord with a very loud voice. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. They were headed out to battle. They knew what was coming against them. This was just not one army, but several armies that were coming out against them. After he gets out into the wilderness, look what this leader of the nation, the Jehoshaphat, said. He says, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." So again, this is before the battle even takes place. He tells them to believe in the Lord. That's what God's message is for you this morning, and to believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophets. Believe the Word of God. Believe the promises in God's Word, and you will succeed. Now look what happens here in verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." He sent out some people ahead of the army that was giving thanks to the Lord, that were singing praises and hymns giving God's praise. Just think about this. This vast army that is going out against these three or four armies that is coming to them to attack them. And he's got some people out there that are singing and dancing and praising God out ahead of them. If you read on in verse 22, there's a key word here that says, "And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush." When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush. That enemy was destroyed. If you go down and read that, in verse 24, it said that none has escaped. I mean, that God caused such confusion that these three armies that had come against him, they actually turned on each other and actually killed each other. But that didn't happen until they began to sing and praise the Lord. And if you read on in that story in verse 25, it took them 3 days they gathered the spoil. Because in most instances in the Scripture, in times like these, when you defeated your enemy, God allowed them to take the spoil of that enemy, or in other words, the goods of that enemy. Not every time, but in this instance here, it took them 3 days, and that they couldn't even carry it all. And if you read on in verse 26, the fourth day, they took another day there out in the wilderness, and they blessed the Lord. I mean, you're talking about a praise and worship service that was going on. They took that day out in the wilderness. And if you read further, they returned to Jerusalem with joy. And the praise continued. And as a result of the deliverance, those other nations knew what happened. The kingdoms around them, the great fear fell upon all the kingdoms. And in verse 30, it says that God gave them rest all around. You know what the theme of this entire message is here from the beginning to the end? Is giving God praise. Amen? No matter what you're going through in your life, you stand firm, you hold true to your faith, and you give God praise. No matter what it is. And you say, Brother Dennis, you don't understand my situation. You have no situation when you look at the power and the glory of God. Amen? Because he has already been defeated. The enemy has already been defeated. All you got to do is claim the victory. Start giving God praise. That's the breakthrough that you're waiting for in your life. He's waiting for you to start singing in praise. Let it begin. Our human nature, we want to wait till we can see a little glimpse of victory, and then, boy, we're going to break loose and shout and glorify God. No, you begin right in the dark moment of your life. God will be victorious. The battle has already been fought. The battle has already been won. The devil does not want you to realize that. Do you realize that? He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to be cast down. Give God praise no matter what you're going through in your life. What was his first instinct? It's always our first instinct is fear. Go to God in prayer. Send word to the people, the body of Christ. Call them up and say, hey, I need you to start singing and pray. A lot of times we just kick in about the prayer. I believe fasting is very important too. It's part of Scripture. We need to know what God has promised. We need to read God's Word and see what He has done in the past in His Word. We need to remember what He has done in our lives, in our past lives. Remember that. And rest and stand firm on God's promises. We need to be like Jehoshaphat. We need to cast ourselves entirely on God. We need to not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. The battle is not ours. The battle is not yours. The battle is not mine, but it is what? God's. So many times we go to the altar and we lay things down and we give them to God and say, God, this is your battle. And then as we get up and walk off, we'll grab just a little piece of it and take it with us. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord. On what? On your behalf. Jesus Christ died for you. That blood was shed for you. That victory is for you. Claim it. See the salvation of the Lord. Give Him praise before the battle. Give Him praise before the victory. Amen. I gotta close with this. I know I've shared this before, but when I had my back broke, cracked, or whatever you want to call it, all I know is it hurt. You know, when I was sitting there that night, and I was thinking of the names that they called God in the Old Testament. and just giving him praise for being that for me. You realize that was before the battle? That was before the battle. Because I got a touch of healing that night. I didn't know what was coming. I was not praying for it. But I knew what God had promised in His Word, and I knew that He was going to see me through it. And I stood on those promises and just thanking Him and giving Him praise for what He had done in my life. And I got a touch from God. And I stand up here today when I've had two or three doctors say that I shouldn't be standing, that I shouldn't be walking, that I should be paralyzed, and I'm not. Praise God. Praise comes before the victory. Praise comes before the battle. Stand on His promises. Claim them. No matter what you're going through. Amen? I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's all stand just for a moment. If you're here this morning, first thing I encourage you to do is to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. Because that's how the victory is won. That's how the battle was fought. That's how Satan was defeated, about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Claim that victory. Claim it this morning.